Boards of trustees own safety. When a patient dies needlessly in your hospital, you did it. You did it.
Yeah.
You own it.
Welcome to See You Now Insights. I'm Rebecca McEnroy. At the heart of the Safer Together National Action Plan's movement toward total system safety is a truth long understood by nurses. Safety is not a checklist or a policy. It's a culture, a commitment, and a collective responsibility. In this insight from episode 123, Safer Together, The Architecture of a Movement, Don Berwick, President Emeritus and Senior Fellow at the Institute for Healthcare Improvement, and Patricia McGaffigan, President of the Certification Board for Professionals in Patient Safety, make the case that protecting nurses and healthcare workers, their psychological safety, their dignity, and their well-being is not separate from patient safety. In fact, it is the foundation of it.
You cannot have excellence of any form or safety or focus on patients from a workforce that feels vulnerable, unsafe, psychologically or physically at risk. It won't happen. I don't think it's just violence. It has become a focus of the workforce safety issue of these issues of violence in care, patients who for one reason or another lash out at the healthcare workforce. Let's not be reductionist about it. That does happen and it needs to be prevented, and the workforce needs support, as does the patient. But injuries to the workforce, psychological injuries, stress, are not rare at all. So we pay a serious price if we don't attend to the overall vitality of the workforce at the same time where they're focusing on the needs that they're trying to meet. They come arm in arm. And we have a highly resilient workforce. We know that from videotapes of operations. It was brilliant research done at Great Ormond Street Hospital on cardiac surgery in children, where they videotaped the number of times a safety condition existed was a high multiple of the times that any kid got hurt. That's because the resilience of the staff. They're there saying, wait a minute, hold on. That's not right. And I think we way underestimate the heroism of the healthcare workforce, who are always on guard, trying to stop these broken systems from actually causing harm.
There's a lot of innovation. There's a lot of day-to-day adjustment that our colleagues working in healthcare are doing. So when we think about what constitutes safety or harm, it's also thinking about how we think about the workforce. Yes, we want to minimize variation, particularly clinical variation, where we know it's evidence-based, yet the adaptability of the workforce to be able to engineer in a moment, as Don described, something that leads to better, safer care is exquisite. And that's what we want to really be able to harness.
We need cultures that do that. I remember a number of years ago, I was on duty at night and I put a cast on a kid, and the next day I got a call from the physician's assistant. He said, I know you saw this kid last night, you did it wrong. That's not how you put on that cast. It could cause the following kind of problem. I was so grateful that that young guy spoke up and told me, and we need a culture that rewards that instead of that shuts that down. Secrecy and safety cannot coexist. There has to be an environment in which you can talk about it. Boards of trustees own safety. When a patient dies needlessly in your hospital, you did it. You did it.
Yeah.
You own it. And workforce vitality is the board's job. And we can't mince our words about that. And it's not about accountability or metrics or rewards or punishments or incentives. It's about the board's leadership and creating a culture in which respect and dignity and psychological safety infuses the entire organization.
I couldn't agree more. The board owns it. The buck stops with the board, ultimately, and or beyond healthcare systems, the most senior leadership ownership body of the small practice or whatever. The buck stops there.
Patricia and I and our colleagues in healthcare have learned a ton by looking outside the industry. Crew resource management, this is a very well-developed part, for example, of aviation safety. It was learned early on in the investigation of airplane crashes that the most common cause of a crash was miscommunication or poor communication, where somebody knew something that could have avoided the disaster, but that knowledge was not used. So the crew resource, the knowledge, stayed sequestered. Why? Because of hierarchies, because of failure of attention to rules. So aviation made a major step forward when they developed this whole field of crew resource management or cockpit resource management, where everyone is taught how to mobilize the knowledge of the people, whether they're high status or not. We still have miles to go in healthcare, but you got to have that foundation of shared experience. The anger, the guilt, the shame, the secrecy, they come from a sense of helplessness. I get trapped in a situation in which I feel terrible or something really went wrong, and the world is going to make me defensive, blame me. The way out of that is learning. The way out of that is saying, wait a minute, there is a different way here. I can get involved. I can become an agent of change. And it's not going to happen through blame. Blame is useless. It's just useless. Competence is not. And I think what Patricia does with her brilliant work is help us learn. So it's awareness and then method.
What we're talking about here is far more than sentimental notions. These are essential realities for a workforce to be able to perform their best and optimize care for patients.
From episode 123, Safer Together, The Architecture of a Movement, that was Patricia McGaffigan, President of the Certification Board for Professionals in Patient Safety, and Don Berwick, President Emeritus and Senior Fellow at the Institute for Healthcare Improvement. You can listen to all the episodes in our Safer Together series, along with any of the shows in our library, when you search for See You Now wherever you get podcasts. And please subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode, and rate and review it. It helps others find it. For See You Now, I'm Rebecca McEnroy. Thanks for listening.